Hey, it's Geek Furious Podcast number 3! You heard clips from the 3 cool albums that were released this month. Anthrax, Mastodon, and Machine Head.
Right.
All really good albums, new albums that came out this month. Or are they all out this month? We have them, but...
You know. We have them, but they're out. I think all of them come out by tomorrow.
Okay.
Anthrax is officially out, and Mastodon and Machine Head are tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we are ahead of the game then. Okay, cool.
Yes, we are.
And what you didn't hear, what I'll play in a second, is the amazing... I mean, just, what is this? Maybe the greatest piece of shit ever put out by human beings.
Yes.
And finally makes Saint Anger seem like a quality project.
Absolutely. Therein lies the genius.
I want to see you suicide. I want to see you give it up. Give it up. Your life of reason. I want to see you on the floor.
I am the 10 stories. I am the table.
The single from Lulu, Lutalica, as people are calling it, The View, which actually the show The View is better.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and it's Lou Reed talking for 3.5 minutes, and then like for maybe a minute, Metallica plays an almost originally Black Sabbath-y rip-off-y riff.
Mm-hmm.
And James Hetfield screams. So that's the only. Do we want to say good? That's the only good.
Oh boy, I don't even know if good is the right word. I think it's an outtake. I think it's just. I think it's demo. I mean, it's demo quality for them. I mean, it's something.
I am the table.
Yes, exactly.
I am the truth.
There it is.
Truth. It is. Truth.
I am the 10 stories. What story are you, James?
I mean, I don't know. It's about suicide, I guess. So, but yeah. I love when fans, I call them Metallica apologists because they apologize for anything Metallica does. And I've been on that road a few times, but when they say things like, it's not a Metallica album. Okay, so Metallica is 80% of this project.
Right.
Right. Because they have the music and at least the backup vocals. And the other... And now I granted Lou Reed wrote all this stuff and whatever. But they are basically... You know, they are the foundation, really, of what's being delivered here. And yet somehow we're not supposed to take this as a Metallica project somehow. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous. This is another Metallica mistake. The only difference between this and the Ja Rule thing is that was what, one song, right?
It was a one-off on a soundtrack.
I've never even heard it, so
Neither have I.
And it's not like S&M because that was their music. So this and S&M, you know, there are parts of S&M that sound really good. I'm not a fan of the album or what they did with it, but at least I can appreciate that it being theirs. And plus, they at least. It, you know, that song, No Leaf Clover, at least that was good, you know. And although it's better as a non-S&M song.
Right, it works. It does.
You know, it's much better when they're playing it just live normally. Mm-hmm. As an S&M, having the orchestra behind it and all that, it's just fucking noise.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments of, like, one... when it's actually pretty good with the orchestra, and there are moments of other things where it's good. But
I actually really do like towards the end of No Leaf Clover when it's building up towards the end and his and dun 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 that whole.
I think it works better with the guitars than with the orchestra.
It's heavier. It sounds much heavier. Yeah. I mean, I guess it just gives it a little bit more depth, but it works better as its own song.
Right. So should I? Do we have to introduce ourselves? Because
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. You're you and I'm me.
I think that's all that matters.
I'm Head Geek Furious, and you're Greek Geek.
There. That's enough. That's enough for them.
Yeah. So Lulu is just a massive disappointment. Who knows? I mean, I gotta hear it. So
I think the only thing that could be worse than the album itself is if they decide to tour for it in any sort of way.
That's what Rob is pushing for, man. Rob was saying in some interview that he wants them to tour it.
I think it would be ridiculous. I think it would be, I mean, look, it's one song, granted, we haven't really heard, but it's let's be honest, it's not what fans of the band want. I mean, you and I have discussed this many times, which is the point that let's get a new album out. They had some sort of a comeback, a pretty decent comeback with Death Magnetic. You know, they're getting back to what their roots, let's say. And now they come out with this shit. Excuse me, but it's like, okay.
Why are you excusing yourself?
Because it's
is there a 5-year old in the room or something?
No, there isn't. My dog is sleeping next to me.
Well, then fucking say shit. What the fuck?
And what the fuck are they doing? Okay, what the fuck are they doing? It's bullshit. It's like, okay, this has Lars written all over it. This is like one of Lars's passion projects.
Come on, let's do this, you know
Lou, yeah, it's like, no, come on, man. You know, yeah, I went down there and we heard some of the stuff and it's nutty.
Yeah!
No, it's not. I'm sorry, guys. It's a vanity project. It's a bullshit project. People want Metallica to fucking kick some shit, man. And this is I told you this. I think this is going to be one of those things that like what's his name, Jan Winter, whoever the fuck from Rolling Stone and from Spin are going to be like, it's a genius thing.
Right, right.
Probably give it some sort of a nomination for best metal performance. Watch.
It's like the guys who vote Master of Puppets the best metal album of all time, but they never listen to it.
Exactly, and they only did it. They only did it because
it's the cool thing to say.
It's the cool thing to say, and I just feel like they're gonna be like, "Oh wow, it's Lou Reed, it's Metallica. They're both, you know, they're both. They have both. There's a lot of cred there." No, it's not, and I could be considered a Metallica apologist.
Well, you definitely are more than me. I mean,
well, yeah, and you know, and it's enough. And considering that, not to go off subject, I just saw them at the Big Four, and you know. You see them and they still pretty much have got it for a band that's that old. I mean, they're still, you know, doing what they do. I'm a little jaded. I've seen them 21 times. I don't think I could see them again without sitting there going like, okay, what are you going to play now that I, you know, at this point, they have to start playing St. Anger stuff for me so I could feel like I'm seeing something I've never seen, which is pretty ridiculous. So I don't think this is what I want. And
or Frayed Ends of Sanity or something.
Frayed Ends, you know, I went through, this is how fucking geeky I am. I went through, I wrote down every song from every album and I checked it off if I've seen it live. And the only ones that I haven't, well, other than Anesthesia, Pulling Teeth, and I think Frayed Ends and Escape, I think I've seen everything with the exception of the loads of shit and the Saint Anger. I think, and I've heard pretty much every song that I want to hear. So why would I go see them again anymore? Unless it's a new album. So I'm like, now you're going to put this shit out? Fucking do another.
I know.
Do another covers album. Another covers album. Don't do this.
Why not another covers album? And that's what a lot of people were hoping for. There was a lot of hope that the Big Four were going to do like covers of each other's songs or some shit like that. Or of other people's shit, you know, Motorhead and shit like that.
Do it. Like that's what was great about the Big Four. They did Overkill and they had like all the bands out there playing Overkill and it was a lot of fun.
And James sounded pretty good too.
Yeah, you said that, you know, his voice his vocals sounded pretty good on that. And if
well,
it,
yeah, when he that's why I don't understand why he doesn't write songs on like if he was going to do the next album, write it in the range he can still do, you know, that Fight Fire with Fire range or whatever. He can still do that with the Motorhead range that he sang with.
Right.
Why doesn't he write that way? But he always writes for, you know, for a way of singing he can't sing anymore.
Some people still think they have it and they can do it. And I know that, you know, didn't Ruben push them to do Magnetic? Death Magnetic was back in E. And,
yeah.
And, you know, and he sounded okay for the most part.
Good. Look, he still has a studio voice, and whenever people go like, oh my god, James sounds so good in the studio, like,
then you listen to him live and it's like, then you listen to him live and it's
you can't ridiculous. Yeah, you can't compare the studio voice to the fucking live voice because you sing differently in the studio than you do live.
The one thing that, and I'll say this is sacrilegious, I have it on one of my tapes, for one of, not tapes, one, Jesus, tapes, one of my MP3s. It's a show from the St. Anger tour, and it's they're doing Sad But True. And it's in Lubbock, Texas, and I think, what's his name, Sully Ezra from Godsmack, was opening on that tour. And he came up and he did a duet with James. Now, okay, granted, it was James post-rehab, all cleaned up, you know, pinky butterflies, I'm happy to be here, we're all in love and shit. But you hear them trading off lyrics, and Sully's just kicking the floor with him. And I'm not saying Sully's a good singer, but he's singing the song the way the song is meant to be sung, or that it was originally sung,
right,
with some anger and some fire in him. I'm not saying, you know, James hasn't sung that way for God knows how long. He sings it in the studio, then he plays live and it turns to shit sometimes. I'm sorry.
Yeah, although, I mean, every now and then he has it. Like, if you watch that Big Four show, mm-hmm. or you watch that playback, there's a moment or a couple moments in there during Blacken where he sounds incredible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he still has it, it's just that he can't sustain it live. You know, if he wanted to do one show where he just sounds great, he could probably do it, and then he wouldn't be able to sing for about a month.
Right.
So, you know, that's
the thing. One show, it should have been this Big Four show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, he had a few moments like that, but, you know, unfortunately, there's nothing he can do about it unless he gets that, whatever, that laser surgery they were talking about with, what's that dude from that band that he now does American Idol? What is the name of that dude? He used to be in a great band, but then he did American Idol, and now...
Steven Tylerico?
Steven Tylerico, yes, that dude. Yeah, apparently he had some sort of laser surgery or something on his vocal cords that helped bring his voice back so that he could do American Idol.
Jesus.
Or maybe it was so he could tour, but I don't know. He does American Idol now, so now all his legitimacy is gone. Mm-hmm. But at least he's not doing an album with Lou Reed. And, you know, because I don't know which is worse. I am the table!
I've told you before, I think I am the table is going to become the new Darth Vader Jedi. No.
It's like the new meme.
It's horrible, man.
The table, man. Oh, God, it's awful. It's just, and even if there was some poetic meaning behind it, I'm sure there is, it just sounds ridiculous.
It's all this philosophy bullshit. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with philosophy.
If you're going to use a metaphor, don't use such...
obvious metaphor.
Yeah.
He says, I'm the 10 stories.
At least he's the 10 stories.
Right. Is he talking about a building?
I think he's talking about building. I think he's talking about suicide, you know, committing suicide.
Okay.
I am the 10 stories that you would jump from. I am the table that you would jump from to hang yourself.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Okay. You know?
But it doesn't come across that way. That's the I think that's the biggest problem with it is if it came across as less, I don't know, it just sounds like an old man reading.
It is an old man reading.
you take the song Hurt.
Right. And Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I know where you're going.
That's phrased is perfect. I mean, it's, you know, originally written by
Trent Reznor.
Or Trent Reznor. But that's the way, that comes across well. I think Lou Reed probably thought, I can do that and I'll have Metallica and that'll give me legitimacy on another end and people will actually want to listen to it. And unfortunately, it just sounds stupid. I think they should have gone with the original idea they had, which was to create something different together, like
something
not,
new.
Yeah, not do Lulu, but whatever, you know, because you can find at least a song or two of that he's performed elsewhere, and it sounds like shit. And I don't know why anyone expected anything different than for it to sound like shit. I mean, Metallica, there's that generic riff underneath most of that song, The mm-hmm. View. And you would think that they would make a bigger effort.
And then let's not even talk about the crash cymbal that goes on for God knows how long.
But I don't know which is a worse idea, Lulu or what Lucas did with Vader's voice in Return of the Jedi by making him go when he's saving Luke at the end. I mean,
but there it is again. There it is, DR. Look, it's that whole idea of, oh, Lucas is trying to create the sort of this poetic mirroring between the how he became Vader and how he sort of forsakes Vader. You know, he's doing this
right.
mirroring. And then it's you see it, but it's so heavy-handed and it's in your face. When if you left him without saying anything, it speaks so much more. To what happens as opposed to what
less is more, man. Less is more.
In this case, Lou, this should have been Lou less. It should have been like there should have been no Lou in this. This should have been an album, okay? I mean, it's
exactly like, Lou should have written it and then given it to Metallica.
Right, and here's the ironic thing: I can't stand when Lou. This is where it's really funny. It's Lou singing, I'm like, I can't really listen to this. And then James starts, and I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, it's James. But it still sucks. But it's better than Lou. Then there's that little trip step where they kind of like the tempo speeds up a little bit, and it gets a little faster. Where
you're like,
oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
I could stomach this,
but then... I'm like, no, okay. Like, no.
The fact that it starts off that way is almost like Lars saying, guys, this is going to suck if you have any taste. But let's talk about something that was actually good.
Uh-huh.
And that's out of the three albums we talked about where that started this podcast. Out of those three, I think the clear winner is Anthrax, Worship Music.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I think even though Locust, whatever it's called, the sign of the locust, the locust is in my pants. What is it? Onto the locust?
Onto my locust.
Onto my locust?
No, what? It's onto the locust.
You know, it's a good album, but yeah. I feel like it's very difficult to come off of the last one, The Blackening, and kind of create something that, you know, that you'll appreciate more than The Blackening. So, and maybe in time I will. I like it, and I like some of the songs a lot. But I actually thought funny, I read some reviews of it, and the last song was the one that a lot of people slammed for
The one with the kids?
We Are? Is that the name of the song?
The one with the chorus.
I haven't memorized the one, yeah, with the kids. I haven't memorized the names of these songs yet. But What We Are, if that's the name of the song, with the kids singing.
Who We Are,
whatever. Mm-hmm. If Machine Head fans are like, fuck you, man, you can't even get the name of the band. Fuck you too, okay? Your band is not that important. Mm-hmm. Until Metallica dies in a fucking fiery plane crash, Machine Head won't be as important as Metallica or Slayer or Anthrax or Megadeth for that matter. But that song actually gets pretty good. The opening with the kids is stupid as shit, though. But I like it. What'd you think of, give me your impression of the album, actually.
I didn't listen to it as much as I listened to Anthrax, and I did like, you know, Locust I've heard so many times, so I'm used to it. I think it's okay. I liked Be Still and Know, the second song. I thought it was pretty good. In the struggle, are we dead or alive? Freedom is non-existence. It's how we survive. Take a breath, hold on to belief. It can't enslave us forever. There is relief. No change will be permanent. Our strength is during. The things that I was a little impressed with was hearing Flynn's like clean voice a little bit more, like on a song like Darkness Within,
right.
which is okay. The special edition has a straight up acoustic version of Darkness Within, which have I listened to it? I don't even know if I've listened to that straight up version of it. But the ones I did like, I kind of did like the bonus track, The Sentinel, their version of The Sentinel, which I thought was actually pretty cool. I thought it was okay. Out of all those albums, I probably put it as a solid, like in the middle of the pack. Anthrax clearly head and shoulders above all the other albums,
right,
as far as I'm concerned. It's an okay follow up to The Blackening. You know, I think they had, they knew they had to come up with something, you know, ridiculously good that compared to what they put out the last time. But
and you can tell musically they're trying.
They're trying, and you know, they're stuffing as much shit as they can into every song, practically. That first song, they're like throwing everything and their mother at you in the first one. But it's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. No, it is. How about Mastodon or whatever?
I was never a huge fan. I did like Curl of the Burl. I thought that was really good, and I don't remember which one it was. I don't even remember now. All the Heavy Lifting, I think was really good. Was not really good. It was okay. I mean, I can take them or leave them, to be honest with you. I mean, they're not my regular cup of tea.
You know, Mastodon, again, is not a band that I like, or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. I like some songs, but I loved Curl the Burl.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely be a song that would get me into the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked a few of the songs, you know, some of them stood out, some of them didn't. And I think I actually liked the album more than Machine Head, and I'm a bigger Machine Head fan.
Okay.
Than I am, you know, definitely a bigger Machine Head fan than I am Mastodon. I'm actually a bigger Machine Head fan than I am Anthrax.
Okay.
But I definitely feel like Anthrax just destroyed everybody, really. I feel like worship music is better than Death Magnetic, better than, you know, basically better than all the big four albums that have come out in the last 3-4 years. So
it's a throwback. It is. And not just because of Belladonna. It's because of, you know, I mean, for me at least, that riffing, some of those riffs are just so, they're part of my DNA. Yeah.
That the opening of Judas Priest, the song.
Old school anyway, and that was purposely old school. I mean, Judas Priest, Earth on Hell. You know, I know you don't like Devil, you know, but there definitely is a whole lot of Rosie feel to it, the way it kind of does the beginning. And then it stops and it goes.
Yeah, it's just not a song I'm really, it feels too much like, you know, 90s Anthrax or even, yeah.
Fight 'Em Till You Can't is classic, is just
Strip. I like it, but those are the two songs I don't really listen to much. I like the other songs outside of Crawl.
I like I'm Alive a lot. That's the one I think I've been playing a lot.
Yeah, I'm Alive I've been listening to lately. And then basically I like a lot of the, you know, there's just three songs I don't really listen to. Two of them, of course, because they were released as singles.
And then Crawl, which is the worst piece of shit on that album.
What the fuck, man? I mean, it's such a great album. They put that shitty-ass song. You should really... And this is a problem with... one of the biggest problems I have with Metallica and Lulu is that this should... I don't understand when an artist... You know, if you're creating something and you realize, okay, this doesn't... Like, that's kind of what Machine Head said they did. Mm-hmm. Is that with his latest album, is that they were like, look, we had this many songs, we thought these were the good ones, so we didn't put anything else on there. And that's at least quality control, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Anthrax had to put one more fucking piece of shit song on there. You know, I mean, it kind of, to me, it really brings the album down.
Right. I think the best thing about the album, though, is, and I think Joey kind of kills it on the entire album, though. I think he's really... I mean, he brings it up even at a higher notch. And I know I'm not a huge Belladonna fan, but he definitely... And
I was never a Belladonna fan until this album.
Right.
And then I was like, whoa, maybe either I missed him or something. But I loved what he did on this album.
I did too. I always kind of thought he was kind of a little bit of a one-trick pony on the older albums. You know, it was always kind of like...
Right.
And then what Bush brought into the band, I thought was a little bit more... He brought balls into the band, and I never thought that Belladonna had the balls. And I think in this one, he actually really kind of, you know, he has a range. There's a range there.
You know, I look at it like this with Belladonna on this album. I think it's kind of like if you ever, you know, had the chance to go back and do something, like let's say there was a relationship you had with someone, like a chick. And maybe, like, her bitching about you was that you never fucked her right. And then you learned in, like, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever how to fuck right. And then one day she's like, hey, you know, want to fuck me? And you're like, fuck yeah. And you rock her world. And that's what he did on this album. Because he knows he's going to get fired soon.
He knows. Yeah, he knows.
He's been talking so much shit in the press, too, man. He's like, dude, these guys are full of shit. He's like, these guys, hey, if they said that, that's bullshit. All this stuff that he's been saying. So he knows he's not in it for long. But for as long as he's in it, he's going to fuck her hard.
And you know, okay, fine. Live, I definitely have issues with him live. I mean, first of all, he's only had to sing three lines from Am I Evil when they do the big four shows.
Am I Evil?
And he can't get them right. He can never get them right.
No. He's saying more than three lines. I mean, he's saying his own verse a cup what,
yeah, his, whatever the verse is. It's always the same fucking verse. And he gets it wrong.
He sings it, oh, blister and burn. But he doesn't sing, oh, blister and burn. He's he sings something else. Oh, propriety burr.
Exactly. It's like, come on, dude. Just do it. And then, okay. Oh, what did you get, Joey, for the last one? You got overkill. All you
overkill! Had to say,
exactly right. Oh, that's all you had to say. All you have to say. Come on, man. It's like...
No, the best part on Overkill is that James fucking hands it off to him. You see him, he nods to him like, dude.
He nods to him, right?
And Joey walks away like, oh, no. Like, I've ever seen like somebody challenge somebody to a fight in the schoolyard, and they're like, no, I don't want any of that. And they try to walk away, kind of like, no, just leave me alone. That's what it looked like. And so James has to go back on there. And James, like a motherfucking pro, knows exactly what fucking bit of lyric he's on.
Exactly.
He just comes in and he's like in mid part of the song. This is a professional. Yep. He knows that if I'm in this key on the guitar at this moment, there's the lyric. He comes in, you know, just like halfway through and he fucking nails it. I was like, Jesus Christ, James. And the one thing you really notice with the Big Four, you know, whatever you want to say about Metallica, whether Metallica sold out or whatever you want to say about them.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever brings the best show, Anthrax clearly has the most energy. Slayer clearly.
It's just brutal. Yeah.
Slayer's brutal and all that. But Metallica, man, those, you can see why Metallica is the number one band still, you know, of those. You can see why Metallica headlines, because James has the personality.
Right.
He knows how to control the crowd. And it's funny when you look back and if you ever read like some of these books that have come out about Metallica, these biographies, and you realize that James was so terrified when they first started playing. He couldn't even talk. And that's what Mustaine did. Mustaine was the one that used to like talk to the crowd and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And James essentially became the guy he is out of necessity and nothing more, you know.
Yeah. Didn't Lars say on Howard that James really became who he became because of when he went over to Europe, when they started playing European shows, and the European audiences were much more receptive?
Yeah, I think, well, but again, out of necessity. He realized he needed to do something. The European crowds were definitely more passionate, you know. Mm-hmm. The American crowds were more violent, maybe.
Right.
But the European crowds, and still today, I mean, you see, and the South American crowds, too, that they literally worship the music. Whereas Americans, you know, there was a time when, especially like in the 80s, when Metallica crowds were like crazy. They were like Slayer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then after the Black Album, it started to kind of become a little different.
Well, because everybody, you were bringing your girlfriend to the show. That's really what
exactly. Exactly. And it was the chickification of Metallica.
Right.
The Metallica crowds that really changed the dynamics of, you know, the shows and everything. And you see that a lot more in America than you do in Europe. Because I think the European metal chicks are really into metal.
They're really into those bands. But the other thing is, I also feel that people in Europe also have an affinity towards all types of music. You know, they love their music, but they're also kind of open-minded to other stuff.
They can listen to Britney Spears, and the same thing with South America. They can listen to their Britney Spears and their Justin Bieber and Metallica. And they can be just as passionate about all of it. In America, it's all about clicks and, you know.
Show me what you got. You know, that's the sort of thing that's really, you know, you watch like a European, like I was comparing, for example, Fade to Black. That they played in Gothenburg. You could hear Fade to Black. You could hear right the instrumental at the end part where right before James starts having the crowd sing. The crowd is already singing that shit. They're already singing along with the melody, and it gives me goosebumps. Right. So when they played it at Yankee Stadium, I'm sitting there trying to listen to hear Yankee Stadium, you know, if they're actually even singing along. Bullshit. They're not doing crap. They have to wait for James to tell them, okay, now sing.
So yeah.
That's the thing about American.
Although Yankee Stadium has really shitty acoustics. The new Yankee Stadium isn't like old Yankee Stadium. If you were in old Yankee Stadium, it was always loud.
Right.
Now there's a dead spot or something in Yankee Stadium where you lose the crowd. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound as loud anymore. And people have complained about that at Yankee games in general. Although a lot of people I've talked to, or I say a lot, three, have said that the sound system at Yankee Stadium was awesome.
Right. It was good. It was great. I mean, I was on the side, right by the side of the stage, close to freaking the pyro. So my ears, I had to cover my ears a couple of times, especially during Fuel and Blackened. I'll tell you something about the show, though. They started the show, they started playing through, and I was like, okay, they're playing their standard bullshit set list. I was a little annoyed by it. The minute they hit Orion, though, when they started playing Orion, that's when it all, for me, clicked. And once they did whatever they did, once they played Blackened and the way they played Blackened with the freaking lasers and the freak something evil, it was just fucking that. I was like, okay, those were the highlights for me. And obviously obviously Overkill and stuff like that. But I would have preferred something a little bit more. Know Nothing Else Matters, you know, opening with something other than Creeping Death. But that's just me. You know, anybody who's seen Metallica for the first time, they're going to be very happy with what they got. They got a great balance of songs across the board. And they got a great smattering of all the bands, you know?
Right, yeah.
Considering Mustaine almost didn't play.
Although I heard that I had complained that the Anthrax portion of the show, there were very few people.
That's fucking
in the stadium. And then later someone talked about on a forum that it was because security was taking too long to get people in.
Oh, yes, they were. It took forever to get in. I literally got in. I got in just as Anthrax started playing. I was like, motherfuckers, let me get to my seat.
Right.
I wasn't at my seat. I was like walking. Luckily, the way the Yankee Stadium is set up, you're able to kind of walk around and watch the show. Clearly, unobstructed. So I didn't get to sit until after Fight Until You Can't. So I saw the first song like that, and it was really upsetting not to see as many people there.
Right. Yeah, it looks like. I mean, I saw it on YouTube. Probably 20 minutes after the show started, somebody was uploading YouTube videos, and I could not believe that few people for a New York band. That was just embarrassing, man. Fucking embarrassing.
The way I look at it with them is, this is their last shot. Okay, they've gone through the, you know, their credibility has been shot a couple of times with the whole singer thing, back and forth, everything they pulled with the reunion. They got to make it work now, you know. So in my opinion, they got goodwill on this. You know, people are loving the album. The critics like the album. They gotta tour with this quickly, and then they gotta do a follow up if they want.
Yeah, but Scott has got a fucking problem. He's got a attitude issue.
They don't give. They're like, we're gonna write. You know, Charlie. It's really Charlie. I mean, Frank is in it, yeah, but it's Charlie and Scott really. That's who it is.
They write the songs, and then they treat the singer the way Metallica treated Kirk for a long time. You know, you're the lead guitarist. Come in, play. Like especially on Injustice for All.
Right.
I mean, Kirk had virtually no input on Injustice for All. Virtually none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Cliff had more input on fucking Injustice for All than Kirk, outside of the leads. But the thing about Justice, at least, is that those leads are so defining of that album.
Exactly.
That they become such important elements of those songs that, you know, you at least give him credit on that front. And I've always felt it was kind of weird. I know we're jumping around here in topics, but I've always found it kind of weird that they don't credit the lead guitarist for writing the lead on a song. Like when they give song credits.
Yeah.
They don't. Now, Metallica does it differently now. As you saw with Death Magnetic, they credit everyone.
Yeah.
Which is the way it should be, you know? Yeah. If you play on the album, you should be credited. I don't care if you wrote the song or not. But then again, Metallica has so much money, they don't even give a shit anymore.
They don't care.
They don't care. I mean, you know, they don't even make that much money off the album sales. So, you know, what do they care? It's all about touring, man.
Yeah, they don't care. That's why they're making Lulu.
I know. And it's part of why I respect them, though. It's like the fact, even though it's stupid, and even though they should be smart enough not to do it, I respect the fact that they made Lulu. I just think it sucks. It's unfortunate, you know, when a band like Metallica or U2, any band that becomes much bigger than maybe they intended. And it's like, oh, shit. And some bands fucking like Nirvana,
mm-hmm.
it implode when that happens.
Right.
And Metallica didn't. You know, that's the one thing. And they and Lars kind of talked about that, where he said, we always had each other, you know, and we always, and the one thing I think what Metallica has done right, Lars talked about that in that Howard Stern interview. You can find it on YouTube if you want. Look up Lars Howard Stern. It's recent this month, right? September.
Last week, I think. Two weeks ago.
It's right before the Big Four. And he talks about the fact that they didn't go and talk about the shit they did. It was always something they did together and they didn't talk about. So no one ever saw, like, the debauchery that they were involved in.
Right.
And if they did, it was always people close to them, so they didn't talk about it.
Look at Guns N' Roses. Think about Guns N' Roses and Metallica, because especially that year that in 92 when they toured together, that sort of created sort of that mirror image of each of the bands.
Oh, yeah.
Where you saw sort of the decadence on the one end, which was like people paying hundreds of dollars to go see these bands, and then you know, the lead singer of one band would be like, fuck it, somebody threw a lighter at my crotch. Fuck you guys, I'm getting out of here.
Or if you ever watched that year and a half in the life of Metallica, sure. And James is mocking him. And right. Another video you can find on YouTube, James mocking Axl Rose. And he calls him Axl Pose. And he says, you know, one cubed ham to get down his throat. And then, what did you say, something like honey? So he can scream like this! It's something like that. Like, it's hilarious. It's like James at his funniest, really. Shitting on him.
And that's what they learned. And I think they said it on a few things. I thought they said it on it was Behind the Music. I remember Kirk's talking about, like, especially in Montreal when James got burned, that, you know, Axl and the band could have gone on and kicked ass, but, you know, Axl fucking had one of his shit fits. And it was like Nero with the fiddle watching Rome burn.
I think that's also the big thing, the difference between Metallica and a lot of bands, is that Metallica goes on there, and Rob from Machine Head has talked about this. He's talked about the fact that, you know, touring with Metallica, he saw how a headliner should act. Mm-hmm. And Metallica, for all their faults, they look out for people. They, you know, if you're touring with them, they look out for you. If you, you know, they encourage people to listen to you and all this shit. They don't fucking, like, discount you. They're not like, oh, you're just on a bill. And for their entire career, Metallica was always, you know, for all the bullshit surrounding them and all the, you know, the nastiness that you could probably go around and talk about. They were always guys who looked out for the people who brought them there. Mm-hmm. You know, they never, like, discounted. There's no story of Metallica douching someone over. And you will find that with every band.
And before anybody says anything about Jason left the band.
As Lars said in that video and said on Howard Stern, he fucking left the band, man.
He fucking left the band. I went down to see his band and he didn't come and see me.
Yeah.
He didn't come after and see me. What the fuck?
Fucking left the band. Yeah, people forget that all the time. And you know what's really funny is we're talking about this stuff. We actually talked about a lot of this stuff on the last podcast. The first podcast we did. Yeah. But I cut it all out.
Right.
So it's actually going to make this podcast. It's funny how much I cut out the last podcast. I was just thinking about that. Oh, shit, we talked about a lot of this stuff.
Here's the one thing I have to say about Lulu, though. I have to add this in, that what I'm hoping for Lulu is I'm hoping that Kirk gets to sing more on this, because I think this is the perfect vehicle for him to sing on. I mean, come on.
Language of the man!
Doesn't it always look like he's a badly synced movie?
Hey!
It's like he's a badly synced movie. You're watching them sing the backup, and he, like, comes to the mic, like, 2 seconds before, after he's supposed
to be late.
Too late.
It's over. It's already over.
It's like, what are you doing?
Rob's already screamed, you know? Hetfield's over. They're both looking at him like, what are you doing?
I think maybe the bandages on my guitar hands are too tight. I don't know.
But hey, I did want to talk about Anthrax. I did want to say something about Anthrax because we keep going back. But clearly, Metallica is our favorite band. I hope that Anthrax doesn't pull a Metallica or an Anthrax in this regard. Because it took them, what, 8 years to come out with a new album?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they come out with something new fast. Pull up Megadeth. Come out with something fast. Megadeth 13 is coming out.
November 1st.
On the same date as Lulu. Even if that album is terrible, it's going to be better than Lulu.
Well, it's going to chart better. Number one, it'll probably it should chart better, I hope.
What do you mean by chart better?
It'll be in the billboards. It should debut higher than Metallica.
No way. You don't outsell Metallica. Even if Metallica takes a shit, they're going to fucking go to number one. That's just the way it is, man. When you're a huge band like Metallica, it doesn't matter what you do. People are going to buy it. All right, listen. Let's end this.
Later.
All right, peace.
Imagination, keep you where they must. Do you feel what I feel? Bittering distress. Who decides what you express? Do you take what I take? Endurance is the word. Moving back instead of forward seems to me absurd. Doesn't matter what you see. Or in doing what you read, you can do it your own way.